The Science Show on RN, where we now turn to Snowball Earth and how the Big Melt just may have given us that explosion of life on Earth. Claire Watson with Anthony DeSetto in Wollongong.
In your lab, you explore deep time, going far back into Earth's history, using isotopes. How do you do it?
It's basically looking at chemical elements that have very slightly different masses, and change in the distribution of these chemical elements is telling us about geological and biological processes, telling us about what's happening on Earth, inside Earth, and also with life.
And there's one point in time in particular that you're interested in. What happened 600 million years ago?
What's really interesting with that period of time is the emergence of complex life. So at that stage, life has been around on the planet for quite a long time. And making life, it's actually not that complicated. You can make the basic compounds of life relatively easily. And it's fascinating in itself, but that's not what I'm interested in. I'm more interested on how do we get complex life? How do we get the ancestors that gave us and the other animals today? And that happened about 600, 650 million years, maybe a little earlier, but at about that time.
And what did the Earth look like?
We have some idea, and there's some really dramatic environmental change at around that time, something we call Snowball Earth, and that's exactly how you picture it. The planet completely covered in ice. Instead of having ice caps at the pole, these ice caps were probably covering the entire planet.
What do you suspect triggered this explosion of life?
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to figure out. What were the changes in ocean chemistry following this large Snowball Earth episode? What happened in the soup of life in the ocean chemistry that changed and that gave us the right recipe to go from very basic life like bacteria to something much more complex that start developing a respiratory system, a vascular system, and this sort of thing? So something changed in the recipe that make life much more complex.
And where do you find evidence of this in the modern Earth?
Rocks. It's all kept in rocks because rocks tell us a story. Their chemical composition is recording stories from the past. So if you find the right rocks of the right ages, you can tell the story of that period of time. And we have these kind of rocks in Australia, but also in other parts of the world, China, Namibia, and other places. They tell us what was the ocean chemistry back then.
Where do you go in Australia to find these rocks?
You go into Flinders Range, a beautiful Flinders Range, and you do find these rocks that record the ocean chemistry just before the first animals, which are found in younger rocks that you also find in the Flinders Range. And that's where actually these first fossils were first described, called the Ediacara biota. If you're lucky, or if you know a very old geologist that can point you in the right direction, you can see one fossil or two. But what's fascinating is when you leave the Flinders Range and you get in another type of rock formation, so much younger, Cambrian, and there you're really amazed with the explosion of life. And wherever you look, there are hundreds and hundreds of fossils in the rocks.
What about the isotopes then, and the rocks that you analyze in your lab? What are they telling us?
We're trying to understand what happened on the continents, the relationship between the continents and the ocean. What did the continents brought to the ocean by their rivers that changed again the recipe, that changed the chemistry of the ocean that could have led to complex life? We think they brought a lot of nutrients. At the end of Snowball Earth, you start melting all these ice caps. As the ice caps disappear, you expose what we call rock flour. So it's basically really finely ground rock that's really easy to dissolve. So you're going to release all the nutrients into the river that is then delivered to the ocean. So we think that after these Snowball Earth events and just before the first animal, you really have a long, big spike in nutrients into the ocean.
And how long did that last?
So probably not very long. So that's actually a little bit debated. Some people think a few thousand years or 10,000 years. Some people think several million years. But whatever the duration, something happened and some dramatic environmental change happened that we can link to complex life.
How does this all fit with other theories of what is necessary for a huge evolutionary leap forward?
So there's some recent work that I haven't been involved with that's looking at exactly like you said, what you need to have big leaps in evolution. You have change, you have evolution all the time, new species coming in, some species coming out. But what you need to really make big change in the tree of life? And they suggested that you need environmental change for more than a million years. So not just a quick fix, a quick change, but long-sustained change in environmental conditions. So you would think that with the snowball thawing, you would have a spike, you have a big flux of nutrients, and that's generally what everybody thought. But what's interesting with the work that we've done here is that we find that that large flux of nutrients didn't just happen as really short pulse, but was actually sustained for a much longer period of time. And we think that for as long as maybe several million years, there was continuous large flux of nutrient to the ocean. Maybe that was the right recipe to really make big changes in the tree of life.
Anthony DeSetto, Professor of Earth Sciences with Claire Watson at the University of Wollongong.